Hello and welcome to the Home Uplink podcast. Today is September 7th, Tuesday. It's the day after Labor Day.
Yep.
Hope you had good Labor Day festivities.
Yeah, and end of the summer festivities.
Yeah, end of the summer time to, what is fall on the 12th or something, right?
22nd.
22nd. 22nd of September.
Yep.
Interesting. We're almost there.
Yep.
Almost fall time.
Yep.
Probably one of my, I think one of my favorite seasons.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I think I like it more. I think it's probably my favorite season, honestly. Fall. Yeah. I'm not a spring. It's okay. It's not bad. Summer. Everywhere I've ever lived is hot. So it's hot. not my favorite. Fall. Comfortable weather.
Mm-hmm.
Leading into my favorite holidays.
Yep.
Halloween.
Yep.
Boom. Easily my favorite.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Same. So. Here. See, I always look forward to the fall because it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's cool air normally.
I mean, in Vegas, we only had about, 2 to 3 weeks of enjoyable weather in fall.
Yeah, and then it would just be cold.
And it would just be cold. But here, from what I remember last year,
it was amazing. It was
pretty enjoyable from like November all the way to like May.
Forever. I mean, literally, there were a few cold days, I'll say that.
Yeah.
There were sometimes we'd go out at night and it was like, wow, it's actually pretty cold, or like it'd be 36 degrees sometimes at night.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, enjoyable. That's a nice, it's always great to go to bed when it's cold, personally.
Yeah. Put another blanket on the bed.
Exactly. So I can't wait. But back on topic from our weather discussions.
Yep.
That's today, our weekly weather update. Yep. No, we're not meteorologists. So, today, what we're going to be talking about is something that came down from the Federal Housing Finance Agency. So, what that is it's a government agency that oversees, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And so there's this program that has already it's been around. And it's called the First Look Program.
Yeah.
Which, how it all works is, they want to give buyers that plan on living in a property themselves, and the property being their main residence, they want to give them a chance to see foreclosed properties before investors. So. I'll just read the little snippet. It says the Federal Housing Finance Agency announced that it was extending the time that owner occupants can view and purchase foreclosure listings over investor competition. So what that means for somebody who's looking to live in the property is that with this program, like I said, it's called the First Look Program, you'll be able to see foreclosures that come on the market a month before a person is capable of buying them that plans on using them as an investment property.
In hopes of giving you
a chance
or a reaction time to be able to utilize that potential purchase before an investor.
Yeah, what they're trying to help with is, they want to give people who are trying to find a home, especially in times like today where the inventory is so low, they're trying to give people who are looking to find a place to live, not to invest in, but to live, a better chance of finding something, that suits them. And so what it had been is it used to be 20 days. So you had 20 days to exclusively bid on real estate owned properties, right? But now they've extended it another 10 days. So that means, individuals, families, and nonprofits pretty much have an entire month that they can bid on foreclosed properties ahead of when homes are available for investor purchasing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that that's a good change. It really does help out a hard part of the market, which is just the absolute low inventory state everybody's in.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's also on both hands because we've talked about earlier that investment companies are coming in and buying everything in cash well over asking. So if they don't even have an option to bid on it, you know, before it's been purchased by somebody,
yeah,
then you're kind of stopping that from happening. Now, I mean, I think we've also touched on foreclosures in the past, I don't know, 50 episodes, whatever. They're normally a little, they need some TLC. They need some tender love and care.
Yeah, they're not, you know,
some are like, you know, maybe a 2 week process and you get them livable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
cleaning them out, maybe putting new carpet and new paint and stuff.
I'm going to be honest. It's not like, you're going to,
this ain't a new home.
You're not going to walk in turnkey and say, here we are, little Jimmy and Becky. It's going to be like, hold on, little Jimmy and Becky. We got to make sure that, you know, everything is all A-okay to live in the property, because unfortunately, people aren't the nicest to foreclosures.
Or, you know, there's plenty of reasons why a house gets foreclosed. It's not just that. I mean, you can sit there and if somebody's, you know, passed away and the property's been vacant for a while and, you know, back probate taxes, that sort of thing. There's tons of reasons why a property goes into foreclosure that isn't just the one, you know.
I unfortunately...
Bad. Well, I guess they're all bad, but...
I unfortunately have the... I've been, you know, negatively bitten by foreclosures from our previous, you know, area where we used to live, because foreclosures were kind of that eyesore in the neighborhood. And everyone knew it was a foreclosure. And then what happened is it just got more and more decrepit throughout the time of it sitting on the shelf. Because, you know, banks aren't necessarily that...
they don't really care about upkeep.
They unfortunately, they're not that crazy about getting it off the shelves.
Yeah, they don't have much pep in their step when it comes to it.
No. Now they're more of a we're gonna wait and see what kind of happens kind of guy versus a let's get this off our plate and make sure that, you know, everybody has a fair place to live. What they're gonna do is drag their feet a little bit and wait until they either have to or I picture foreclosure, especially like bank foreclosures, as like a guy like Office Space,
yeah,
who's sitting at a desk, who comes in from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and he just has a huge in box,
but no out, yeah,
and the guy keeps, you know, his boss keeps walking over and is like, hey, you gonna have those foreclosure
TPS reports for me
by Friday? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'll get them done. And he just has to like go over every single file in detail and then go over all the offers that they have on that file, and he just doesn't.
But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure every single you're not wrong. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is back there.
I
mean,
I don't want to be, that's in my mind whenever I talk to somebody about foreclosures, like, oh my gosh, it's a great deal. I'm like, that is a great deal, but
do you have 4 months?
I can't
get a response.
I cannot in good conscience tell you how long this is going
to
take.
Yeah, it's not, and I, you know, if shout out to anybody who works at a bank and you work in the acquisitions.
Yeah, please tell me differently.
Yeah, tell me exactly how wrong we are. But
I would love to be wrong.
Anecdotal, right? Because it's personal experiences here. It's not, this isn't some, you know, study across bank. I've had terrible times with acquisition departments and banks. I mean, whether it was in Vegas or Utah or wherever. I mean, we had a deal in Utah that was, you know, just buying a property had ended up foreclosed because it went through probate and the family didn't want it.
Yeah.
And so they just let it go. And then went to probate, and then it went to foreclosure, and then we had some people who wanted to purchase it because they wanted the land that the house was on,
right?
So they went through the whole process and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, it connects to our land. So we want to purchase it so we can just have a bigger lot.
Not as simple.
Not simple at all. You contact them, maybe you get a response. I mean, at this point in time, it took about 9 months just to get a no.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like jumping through flaming hula hoops just to get a no. And then the no was because it wasn't going to be owner occupied, but they were trying to argue that, well, it will be because we're just going to link it with our property and we live there. So that would mean it would be owner occupied. Yes, it would
technically be owner occupied.
And they're like, no, you're not going to live in that house. You're going to live in your house and connect the two lots together. That's not the same thing. And they're like, I mean, it is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be our land. We're going to live on the land. And they're like, yes, but not. And so they inevitably didn't get it.
No.
So the property that is now next to their land that they bought and they wanted, they don't own it. You know, it was purchased by somebody else because they were like, so, oh, we're going to live there.
So technically somebody who would have taken care of the property because not only it was next to their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, they probably would have loved, you know, having that kind of property, wasn't able to get it because...
And the real kicker to all of this story is there's no happy ending because the property didn't get, like, fixed. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, and the new owners came in and they changed, you know, they updated it. They took care of the land. They, you know, trimmed the trees. They cleared all the debris. They, you know, took care of the property, fixed the broken windows. They, it's like, no, they bought it. And then they said that they were going to live there full time. And nobody ever lies. Right. In this world, there's one thing that people do not do. And we know back in 04, 05, 06, people don't lie. You know, people don't lie about how much money they make or what they're going to do.
I mean, like,
what are you? It's a here's how people see the age old. Are you going to live there as your primary residence?
Yes.
It's like saying to somebody, is this sign that says no dogs allowed at the park? Is this a cop or is it a sign? And then people go, well, it's a sign, not a cop. And then they go, is there anybody else at the park? Is anybody going to know I'm going to bring my dog into the park?
Probably not.
No. So I guess I'm just going to bring my dog into the park, even though it says no dogs allowed, because it's a sign.
Yeah.
Not a cop.
Correct.
It's the same thing. Somebody goes, yes. You know, their fingers are crossed behind their back, but they're like, yes, I do plan on living in this property as my main residence.
Do you have any sort of police that come and make sure this is a no? Why would we do that?
This is the honor system. You have to tell us.
Oh, then for sure.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to live there 365 days a year.
I don't actually take vacations.
I don't go anywhere.
I work from home too, and yeah. I get all my groceries delivered.
Yeah, so I do not leave my house.
You're never going to see my car in the driveway because it's always going to be in the garage.
Yes. So,
and you're never going to see anybody coming in and out of the property because I never leave.
I'm also a vampire, so I don't go out during the day.
Yes.
So when I'm out cleaning the yard, it's nighttime. Which makes it hard to clean the yard, so I don't really do it all that often.
Yeah, you might see a random lawn service person show up every couple months just to make sure. But hey, you know, that's probably because I couldn't get to it because I'm so busy with all my work.
Uh-huh. My vampire work,
Yes. And if you ever come knock on the door and I don't answer, it's most likely
I'm in my coffin. Also, I sleep during the day.
It's most likely because I work at night,
of course.
And I'm afraid of anybody who comes to my door.
Yeah. So just to let you know, I'm going to live there. So let me have this property.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, okay. Sign right here telling us that you're going to.
It's not the first time that's
it's you're not going to be the first person that has lied, but you're not going to be the last either, because that happens plenty of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing happens, you know, I hear it all the time, too, with, you know, this goes hand in hand with the work vehicle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, people go, oh, well, this vehicle's for work, so it's a tax write-off.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, on one hand, it's like, yes, the work truck, yes. You know, you fall in the category of saying that my car is a vehicle I use for work, right? And it's got, like, you know, the company logo, it's uh-huh. the lawn services, it's the lawn, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. And it's parked in your driveway. You know, they'll send an IRS guy out sometimes to check. You know, yeah. they'll audit that sometimes. They'll say, oh, you have a work vehicle? Let me see it, right? And then you go, oh, here it is, right? And they're going to go, oh, okay, yeah, that's a work vehicle. No problem, right? I've heard people who try and write off their, like, daily driver, you know, it's like, oh, I take this into work. It's my work vehicle. I'm going to write it off, right?
Yeah.
And they go, that's not really a work vehicle. You don't use it for work. Like, yeah. You're not transporting goods in it. You're not, you know, it's not the main vehicle in which you get your services to somebody. It's just taking you from your house to your job, and then you work inside your job, and then you take it home, and then you also go get groceries on the way home and pick up food, and then go, you know, to
the movies,
and you just use the car. So it's not really for work only.
Yeah.
Or specifically bought for work. And then they go, no, it is. I mean, I've seen people who do that, and they drive like a, you know, they have a tax write-off car, and they have the car that uh-huh. they drive, right? Yeah. And they say, okay, well, this car is bought and paid for. I use it as my tax write-off, and I keep it parked in my driveway, so that if an auditor comes and they go, oh, well, what car is it that, you know, you're writing off? I can say, oh, it's this one right here. You know, it's a piece of junk. Right. And they're going to go, oh, well, whatever. It's a piece of junk. I'm not going to, I don't really care. Yeah. They're using it. Well, inside the house, you know, they're actually driving like a, you know, AMG and they're just like, yeah, that one's the one that I write off all the time. And they're like, that's an expensive write off, you know, it's this one right here.
Yeah. This is my write off.
Yeah. I've seen that, you know, TikTok. You really shouldn't make videos on the internet. Because you're going to...
Hey, that's how they got famous.
Well, at some point...
That's how they got their AMG, man. They have to make videos where they give people, you know, money, or they run around...
Poorly planned tax advice to evade taxes.
Yeah, of course. You know, like, anybody who takes tax advice off a 22-year-old who is on YouTube probably isn't making the best life decisions. But hey, who's to judge? No, I'm not judging.
I'm not judging them. I'm just telling you that...
Listen, I have a tax guy who does my taxes, okay? He's a very...
His name's Vinny?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's not.
You use Sal.
Okay. I better call Saul. No, so I mean, and he does what he's supposed to. He, you know, since we do work from home occasionally, you can write off a certain amount of money.
Square footage,
correct. And you know, your allocated, you know, monthly bills, you can write off a percentage of your allocated monthly bills because you're using your, I mean, I have an office, you know, in my home, and I do occasionally, like yesterday, you know, when we weren't in the office itself, but I was still working, I use my office. So yes, you know, there are certain things that are truthful in write-offs, but there are certain things that are not truthful in write-offs.
Yes.
And getting off topic, I mean, we're
sure,
we're,
that was off topic, but it was in the realm of, you know, there's plenty of times where people will do something like this,
yeah,
and they'll get caught.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, this is not what I was trying to loop this around to, is if you tell somebody that you're going to live in the property, right? You have to live there for 5 years normally in this sort of situation.
Yes.
Right. You have to live there for 5 years before you can really do anything with it.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
That's what you're basically saying to them, is this will be my primary residence for the next 5 years. After that, I'll refinance, sell, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes. So that's what you're supposed to do. Now, there isn't some tax guy that's going to come check if the car that you drive, you know, they're not going to do the same thing for the house that you live in. I've never heard of a tax guy that comes up to your house and knocks on the door. you know, and goes, hey, does John Smith live here?
Yeah.
Who are you? Oh, the business attire that I'm wearing, because I'm an auditor for the IRS. I'm just here to find out if, John Smith, aged 36 years old, does he?
As you're claiming a dependent.
It says you're claiming a dependent named Anthony.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my wiener dog over there.
Yeah. Yeah, the dog starts barking.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm John Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, you're John Smith, right? Yes, that's me. Oh, okay, perfect. Could I see an ID, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me go get that. It's like, that doesn't happen.
No. Right?
There's nobody sitting there and checking to see if you live in the property. So when you get your 3% down FHA loan. I feel
like a lot of people, though, if that did ever happen,
it'd be a real shakeup. It'd be a real shake. It'd like be a bag of bees or something getting shaken up.
If the government did ever want to just like, completely,
destroy the housing market for fun.
No, not necessarily, but they don't even have to do it. They just have to threaten it. Like, oh, we have a new department, in the Department of Taxation. It is the federal housing,
coordinators or something.
Yeah. Who will
don't give them any ideas.
I know, but who will now announce themselves as audit tax collectors and make sure that the properties that you have now claimed as
your primary residences,
they will be throughout the year just checking
sporadically.
Oh my God, could you imagine how many people would just like, what?
Well, you would find a lot of people in, if people don't know this, Las Vegas, Miami, Orlando, Tampa Bay.
Oh my gosh, all those tourist cities.
No, what happens here is there's no people, athletes, business owners, they use these states as tax havens.
Oh yeah, of course, Texas too.
So they go, oh, I live there all the time. They have one house in, it happened all the time in Las Vegas. You'd have a bunch of athletes from California would come and buy a property. They'd buy, like an $800,000 house, say it's their main residence. They'd have all their mail sent from the Vegas residence to the house that they actually live in California.
Correct.
But they would not have to pay state income tax because they said their primary residence was Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Same thing. That would literally be like setting hornets loose to the amount of people that take advantage of that system.
Yeah, I agree. That would be a...
They would freak. They'd be... I would love to see the phone records of how many people's like accountants would be called. That would get released and then just instantly it would just be them calling their accountant just going...
ringing off the
phone. How do I not get screwed here, Johnny?
Well, where are you currently?
Yeah.
Well, my primary residence is Florida, but I'm currently in New York.
Yeah.
Well, get on a flight.
Yeah. Go down there and live in Florida. And
can you do what you're doing currently in New York and Florida? Yeah. I mean, that's okay. Then go down to Florida and for the next X amount of years, live your life in the house that you bought, saying, well,
and if you're trying to take advantage of the tax, you have to live there for more six months than in the other place. So you'd have to live there for over 6 months to go live somewhere else for 5 months. Yeah, but that's another thing,
too. Who's actually making sure that you're living in that property for more than six months? Who is literally sitting there counting down the days and say, can you show me on your calendar, on your GPS, on your phone that you were in this property for more than 6 months? Like, no, I can't. I travel a lot. I'm on the road constantly.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so the system in and of itself, I know we're poking a lot of holes and we're making it Swiss cheese here, but that's really what it is. I mean, when it comes to this sort of thing, it's great that this system was enacted, right? And I know we've been poking at it.
Yeah.
It's awesome that they're allowing for more time for people. And yes, banks take forever. So it's not like it's going to make much of a difference, to be quite honest. You could sit there and bid. You could go on the first day, like any normal home sale, the first day the foreclosure hits the market and you go, boom, I'm putting an offer in today. Yep. First day it's been listed as a foreclosure, I'm going to bid high and I want to, you know, I want this place.
Yep.
They could not respond to you for 45 days and then take a full cash offer from somebody else because they don't have to worry about loans.
Or they don't have to take a full cash offer and they could take it from somebody who they
know. Not crazy. Well, they don't do that because, you know, integrity and such, banks have so much of it. So they never do that.
Let me tell you that wouldn't be the, I mean.
That never happened. I don't know. What are you talking?
Yeah, you know what?
Hey,
right.
You're right.
Wait. Right. Never happens.
That never happens. All right. Never happens.
There's never any dealings on the back end.
Never anything like that. No.
In perfect world, I'm glad they implemented such a stellar way to combat some of the most interesting time periods that we're about to run into. The real estate market combat them.
Yeah, that's it.
So, I mean, between, everything that's going to be happening in the near future, I'm very interested to see how this will again take place.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I don't know how much it's going to change things. If they really wanted to change things, they would say they got 6 months bidding time, because then at some point in 6 months, the banks would stop dragging their feet because they'd be losing money.
Correct.
Because that's the only reason they're going to make a decision. 1 month is 1 month, but 6 months, they'd be like, oh, okay, we have to work quicker on these things here. So it's all good and happy and glad. And, you know, I'm sure it's like a, you know, they're trying to save face here in the federal housing, they're trying to be like,
somebody had a good idea. I'm not going to knock their idea. Somebody had a good idea to try and get people who are actually going to, you know, occupy the property into the house before an actual investor can do it. That's a great idea. I just don't necessarily know if that's going to work the way that they think it's going to work. That's all.
Yeah. Follow through and hindsight go hand in hand.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting road because we're going to be monitoring this. And if, you know, we start hearing reports where, you know, people on the 31st day get a rejection notice of their offer and then the house goes into contingency with a corporation of some sort, then they don't care. Then the banks are sitting there saying, you know what, that 30-day leeway that they're giving the actual buyers to try and get in the property, we don't care. We're just going to wait until 31 days anyway and get it off our plate. This way.
Yeah, it's not like I think we've touched on this, but foreclosures, you don't get the same there's no care. So like if I go and make an offer on a property and I say, hey, I want a response by you within 2 business days, 3 business days, good luck. In a normal dealing, I'll get a response, whether it's yes or no. I'll get a response. So I'm not sitting there wasting my time treading water. Now, you could put whatever day you want on a bid for a foreclosure with a bank.
Correct.
And that doesn't mean that they're ever going to respond to that date. They don't even, honestly, you shouldn't even fill it in. It's not going to make you feel any better. And you're going to think, I'm going to put 5 days. I can give myself 5 days, right? That's fine. To get a response
by the end of
the
week, by the end of the work week, I'm hoping that somebody in their job description can look at my offer for the property that they currently own and give me just a whiff of a yes or no.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's probably going to take another week or two for them to even just print your offer out. If you sent it electronically and you're like, okay, I'll give them 5 days in order to print and take a look at my offer and give me a yes or no or blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be real bluntly honest here. I don't think they've even printed it after 5 days. And honestly, at that point, you've probably forgotten about it because you're probably looking at other things. And at that point in time, when they actually get a response to you or... funnily enough, when they don't get a response to you, you're not even going to remember.
No.
You're going to be like, oh, it's a month and a half down the line, and I just got a letter saying that my offer was rejected.
Yep. And you're going to forget that you even put an offer in the property.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're going to say, wait, what a second. What did I just?
Which one was this?
I just got a bank. Honey, you just got a bank notice in the mail? Oh, yeah. That's for that offer that we put in like 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, they rejected it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. We already purchased something already, or
we purchased something, you know, 7.5 months ago. So I guess that's great that they just responded to us now.
Right. Like, okay. Thanks, honey. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Great. It's like, that's like I said, you know, it was good. They had a good idea.
They did.
You know, it's great that they wanted to try and make it easier on home buyers and that sort of thing. But as people in the business know, people don't always tell the truth. And that makes it harder on everybody.
That's why it's unfortunate.
We're going to all be sitting here going, well, yes, the system's great, but... Yeah, it happens. Yep. You know, it happens. So,
but on that note, we wish everybody a happy Tuesday. We'll be back in the office and do probably another one tomorrow and keep you up to date with everything. If you have any questions, of course, you can always hit us up at admin@homeuplink.com. You can go to the website as well, homeuplink.com, and you can check out our open house listings daily. And keep the questions coming. We appreciate you listening and have a nice Tuesday.
Yeah, have a wonderful, wonderful work week. Happy 4-day week.